I know Memorial Day is set aside to honor those actually who have given their lives, but we've expanded and enlarged that to thank all those who have served to allow us to continue to enjoy the freedom that we have. What we do here, you can't do around the world. What we're doing here, people have to sometimes do very secretly, quietly. But we have a chance to openly proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. So thank you. If you have your Bibles, if you'd open to the book of Philippians. I know your Bible might not be used to opening Philippians. It's probably used to opening to Revelation, because we've been in Revelation now for a number of weeks, 8, 9 weeks, I guess. And we're preaching through the book of Revelation, but as I mentioned last week, there are times that God would stir my heart, stir my heart with something different. And such is the case for this morning's message. A week and a half ago, as I was finishing up last Sunday's message, I began to pray. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do for this Sunday today? Do I continue in Revelation? Do I get into chapters 10 and 11? And as I was driving home after having finished the sermon for last Sunday, a thought popped in my head. Now, how many of you know that not every thought that pops into your head is a God thought? Sometimes it's just you, and sometimes it's the other side. But as I was pondering the thought that popped in my head, I said, man, that would make a good message, Lord. And I started seeing it develop. I said, that'd be good, but I just can't go with it just because it popped in my head. I need to know it's you. I get home. 15 minutes from the time the first thought popped in my head, I get home. There's mail. I take the mail, and in the mail, there is a card from a woman in our church. It was a card of encouragement, and enclosed in the card was a devotional that she had received years before on a Lenten service. And she put in the card, I think this would be an encouragement to you. I said, all right, so I opened it up, and I looked at the title, and my jaw dropped. And as I began to read the devotional, I went, oh my gosh, it was exactly the same thought that had popped in my head 15 minutes earlier. I think I see the neon lights. So today's text, Philippians chapter 3, I want to preach a message that I'm calling Paying the Price. Paying the Price. If you'd stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first 14 verses of Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When I was a kid, I read a story about a man by the name of Joe. Joe had a real tough childhood. We could even call it traumatic. He lost his mom when he was just a kid. Now, if you've ever yourself or someone you know has lost a parent at a young age, you know how much it can affect you. You get a hole in your life. You get this wound that doesn't seem to fill, and this is what happened to Joe. What made it hard for Joe is that his mom had never been sick. In fact, as far as he could remember, he'd never remember a day in her life that she was ill. She was so full of life. Her eyes blazed with life and fire. And he thought, for a mom, she was kind of pretty. And so when Dad came by and tried to explain to young Joe what had happened, he was stunned. His dad said, "Something happened to your mom when she was giving birth to your baby brother. Something," he thought his dad said, "something ruptured, and she bled to death." Joe was confused. Joe was angry. See, Joe always wanted a kid brother, and he was glad that he got a kid brother, but he was mad because he thought, if my kid brother hadn't been born, I'd still have my mommy. Rough start, wasn't it, to his life? Some people may never have overcome that rough start to begin with, but things didn't get any easier as he got older. Joe's dad married, so Joe ended up having a stepmom. Stepmom who already had kids, so it was a blended family. Some of you know what it's like to grow up in a blended family, his, hers, ours. What made it tough for Joe is he always felt that his stepmom loved her kids more than she loved him. And his stepbrothers added to it by putting him down all the time. Said, "You're a loser. You're a failure. You're never going to amount to anything." It was rough through his childhood years and into his teen years. How many of us would be able to overcome those kind of circumstances? What a rough start in life. Joe eventually got kicked out of the house. He went to work for a boss that was miserable. He got accused of stealing, which he didn't do. He vehemently fought. "I didn't do this," but he ended up being thrown into prison. Joe didn't have any money, so he couldn't hire a lawyer. He tried to get a public defender, and the public defender basically blew him off. Joe was left there to rot. Now, how many of you would be able to overcome those kind of circumstances? But Joe had one thing going for him. Joe believed God. And when Joe was a little kid, God had birthed a vision in his heart of what he was going to become, a destiny that was possible for him. And he wasn't going to let go of that dream. So in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the overwhelming odds, he continued to persevere, to believe that God had a destiny for him. If you want to know how Joe's life turned out, just check the book of Genesis. Because Joseph turned out all right, didn't he? Joseph ended up being elevated to second in command of Egypt, a very powerful position, and he was able to provide for his family. And after his dad died, the brothers were concerned that Joe was going to take it out on them. And Joe said, "You don't get this. What you meant for evil, God meant for good." Joseph understood that all of those difficult circumstances in his life were prepping him for the destiny God had given to him. That every price he had to pay was going to be worth it for the prize he was going to enjoy. In our text in Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul lays out a prize, lays out a goal, lays out a dream that God had put in his heart. He wanted to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of his own, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. He said, "I want to know him." That is, I want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. He goes on to say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul had a vision and a dream birthed within his heart of what God was calling him to be and to do. You see in that Philippians passage the vertical aspect of the call, and in Romans chapter 15, you see the horizontal aspect of the call where Paul says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Paul had a dream of becoming like Jesus and knowing Jesus and experiencing the resurrection power of Jesus and walking in Jesus' sufferings. And Paul had a vision of reaching the world for Christ where they had never heard. That was his dream, his destiny given to him by God. And he was willing to pay the price to see the prize. In the opening verses of Philippians 3, Paul lays out all the benefits he had growing up. Unlike Joseph, who had a rough childhood, Paul had a silver spoon in his mouth. Joseph struggled against overwhelming odds to get to the dream. Paul had everything. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He excelled in the religion of the Pharisees. He was top of his class. He was valedictorian. He was set to be something big and special before God. And then God reached down and showed him that everything he had was nothing compared to this prize. And Paul said, I'm willing to let it all go. He was thankful for his heritage, but he wanted nothing to keep him from the prize. He was willing to pay the price. Not only that, Paul goes on to say that whatever was to my gain, I now consider rubbish, garbage. It's actually a very strong word he uses there. It's almost a vulgar term that he uses. But everything that Paul could have had, everything Paul could have been apart from Christ, Paul was willing to sacrifice that. Why? Because the prize was worth the price. Isn't though that what Jesus did in Hebrews chapter 11? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Jesus saw the prize, and because that prize was so worth it, Jesus was willing to pay the price to obtain the prize. In Matthew 13, Jesus gives a number of parables, and two of those parables talk about people that had found a treasure or found a pearl, and they were willing to sell everything they had. It was worth the price to get the prize, to get the pearl of great price, to get the treasure hidden in a field. So Paul was willing to pay the price to get this. Not only did he pay the price, however, in terms of the vertical, he also paid a price in the physical to share the gospel. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is trying to refute some false teachers there in the church at Corinth, and he's trying to show the Corinthian church that he truly is an apostle, not because he's had greater visions or done greater miracles, but because he suffered more. And he shares in verse 23, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure, my concern for all the churches. What's amazing is that Paul still had another 15 years of ministry to go. That's only in the 50s. He didn't die until the late 60s. And he was willing to pay that price to see one more soul saved, one more church founded. Why? Because he had a dream, a vision given by God. He had a destiny that had birthed within his heart. And he was willing to pay whatever price to get to the prize. Now, isn't that, in a sense, the essence of the Christian faith? And Jesus say in Mark chapter 8 that if you want to follow me, you got to take up your cross. We live in an age where it seems in too many circles the church has adopted an easy believism. Gone is a, it's almost like we've embraced a crossless Christianity. Come to Jesus and you can become all that you're meant to be. And yes, I believe that, but it is His will that we follow, not ours. The Christian faith is not simply making me the American dream here. The Christian faith is about, I was a sinner in rebellion against God, and God had mercy on me and paid the penalty for my sin at the cross, so that I could be brought back into relationship with God through Christ. And therefore, that prize of relationship with God is worth the price. Take up your cross and follow me. In view of God's mercies, Paul says in Romans 12, offer your lives as a living sacrifice. The price you pay is worth it because of the prize we gain. And when I say gain, I don't mean we earn it. I don't mean that we deserve salvation. It's a gift from God. But it comes with a price. Dietrich Bonhoeffer in the 1930s talked about the difference between free grace and cheap grace. Grace is free, but it is not cheap. Grace is free in that God freely brings us back into relation to Him by faith, but it costs. It cost Jesus His life, and it cost us the same. Paul was willing to pay that price to experience that kind of salvation. Now, Paul also goes on in chapter 3 of Philippians to say that this pursuing the prize is not a one-time event. Pursuing the prize is something that lasts a lifetime. He said, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing towards what is ahead. I strain, I press towards that goal. If you've ever been a runner, you know the difference between a 100-yard sprint and a marathon. 100-yard sprint, it's pure emotion. It's boom, out of the blocks. Usain Bolt, boom, and you're done. A marathon, it's over the long haul. Over the long haul where you get tired, when you hit the wall, when you've used up all your carbohydrates and you are feeling like, I want to quit, but you don't because you know that the prize is worth the price. Now, sometimes the prize we don't see this side of glory. Sometimes you will labor a lifetime and the prize that you will provide is not for you, it is for those who will follow you. We stand in this period of time, in 2011, on the shoulders of 400 years of Christians praying for this valley. In the history of our church, Doris could testify to this. This church has been around since 1967. So we're coming up on 45 years, if I did the math right. And there were people, the Arthur Butts, who helped build this, the Peter Escadals who helped build this, who started Calvary Assembly because God had birthed a dream inside of their hearts of developing and establishing a full gospel work in Cobleskill that would be a lighthouse to the community. And they labored and they devoted their time, their talent, their finances to build a facility and enlarge a ministry to reach a community for Christ. And they died not seeing the fullness yet of what is to come, but they died believing that the prize was worth the price. Just like the folks in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we see all those, it says in verse 32, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Boy, that's good stuff. That's dream stuff. That is awesome. And yet, the writer of Hebrews doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection, a prize worth the price. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. You see, all the stuff they went through was not because they had sin in their life or because they had unbelief. It was they were willing to pay the price to gain a prize. And it says in verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. 4 centuries of people praying and believing for what God wants to do in this valley. And today in 2011, we stand on their shoulders. So what's the dream that God placed in your heart? Why do you exist and live in Schoharie County and surrounding areas on May 29th, 2011? You may have had a Joseph life that brings you to this point where you got ripped off, abused, suffered loss, hurting, broken childhood, mocked and made fun of, told you were a failure and a loser. Or maybe you were the Apostle Paul and you had a silver spoon in your mouth. Doesn't really matter which end of the spectrum you came. If you are here today, you are not here by accident. God has a destiny. And it isn't about how you can accumulate the most toys. It's so that you can be effective in the kingdom of God. Why do you exist? Whether you are just 12 or whether you are 82, soon to be 83, there is a destiny that you have. And don't tell me that God retires destinies. Moses was 80 when he just got started. Anna was in the temple just waiting for that moment when the baby Jesus came in so she could start prophesying. Simeon waited knowing, I'm not going down until I see that baby boy. He lived for that moment in history. Why? Why are you here in this moment of history? Surely it is more than just to survive day to day. There is a dream. There is a dream that God has given you. For Joseph, it was a dream that he was going to have authority and power. For Paul, it was a dream that he was going to reach one more for Jesus Christ and to know him in the power of his resurrection and to know him in his sufferings. What is the dream? I can tell you, I know the dream that God has given in my heart, that I want as many people as possible to know hope, healing, and wholeness. And I want to pour myself into people who themselves will train and equip others, who will pour into others hope, healing, and wholeness. I want to raise up pastors who have a heart for hope, healing, and wholeness. I want to invest in new leaders who are going to pour into people so that they can know who Jesus Christ is and what Jesus Christ can do in their lives. It's my destiny. It's why I exist. It's why every experience I had in life has led me to this point in my life of what I'm called to do. What is your destiny? What is your reason today? But then secondly, what price are you willing to pay to see that prize manifest in your life? Every experience you have will be used by God to prepare you for your destiny. But every experience you have can either make you bitter or better, depending upon what attitude you have towards it and whether you trust that God is involved or not. Joseph could have been ticked off at God for taking his mommy when he was just a kid, when Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. He could have been angry when he had to be raised by Leah, who loved her kids more. He could have been angry when he got sold into slavery and had to work for Potiphar. He could have become bitter when he was falsely accused, when he didn't do a thing with Potiphar's wife, but he was accused of stealing her. He could have been bitter when he was thrown into prison on false charges. He could have been bitter when the public defender, the Potiphar's officer was supposed to take a message to Pharaoh, I mean, and say, hey, look, I got a kid here. Get him out. He could have become bitter in everyone, but he kept believing God. Folks, in the valley in which we live, you are in a valley that by its very nature seems to have struggles with victimization. You live in a valley where it seems as if the whole goal of life is to make it through the weekend and to have to do it again the next week. Very few dreamers, very few visionaries. Just no, look what happened to me. Woe is me. And this, and I'm not minimizing your pain, and I'm not minimizing your struggle. Every one of us can sit here and tell the stories of all the hard things that have happened to us if we're a Joseph. Or we could sit here and brag about all the good stuff that happened to us if we're a Paul. But bottom line, God has a destiny for you and for me and for this body of believers, and every circumstance you face will be part of God's working in you if you and I will respond to that situation biblically. So we can walk around. The choice is ours. We don't have to pay the price. Trust Jesus as Savior, you go to heaven, but you miss your destiny. You miss the reason why you exist. We could walk around moaning and whining about everything that wasn't. Everything that coulda, shoulda, woulda been in our life. And we could live with a sense of regret over everything that went wrong. And as long as we're looking back with regret, we'll never look forward with faith. But if instead we look back and say, Lord, I choose to believe that every one of those circumstances, whether my failures or somebody else's, is somehow going to be turned for good and used to develop the kind of character in me that will sustain a destiny, I embrace your work in my life. I pay the price to enjoy the prize. Make sense? What price? I don't know what the price will be for you. There may be that season when you want to play and God says you got to pray. It may be there was something you want to do and God said, let that one go. I got something better. And you're going to have to trust. There's a discipline necessary that God has to work within you to see the prize over the long haul. It doesn't just happen. It isn't just simply by osmosis. You stick a Bible under your pillow at night and you wake up the morning and poof, you're there. There is a spirit of self-control that the Holy Spirit has to develop within you and within me. There are things that we must say no to because there's more important things that we have to say yes to. And there are things that are good that we have to say no to because there are things that are excellent that we have to say yes to. There are things that are urgent that we have to say no to because there's things that are eternal that we have to say yes to. And are we willing to pay the price? This weekend, we're celebrating Memorial Day. We celebrate people that were willing to pay a price to gain the prize. They sacrificed the very best they had and they gave their lives. Joseph was willing to pay the price to see the prize. Paul was willing to pay the price to see the prize. There is a price to pay. And I haven't even gotten into the spiritual realm. Because there's a very real enemy that wants to throw roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock in front of you. Because he wants to discourage you and defeat you from stepping into your destiny. And there is a price you and I have to pay. We have to submit ourselves to God and resist the devil to see that thing go. We have to put on the full armor of God and, having done everything, to stand. It's easier to cave, especially in a valley whose mindset is about caving and just going along and trying to survive. I want to challenge you to rise above the spirit of the valley and put on the spirit of the Lord The Spirit of the Lord is a victorious spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is a conquering spirit. That's the spirit you and I put on. You and I will never overcome this spirit in our own strength. We will come to it. We will be brought down to its level, and we will become just like everybody else who doesn't know Jesus, who is stuck and trapped in this valley, unless we are willing to let the Spirit of the Lord stir up within us a belief that he's got something better for you and for me and for this church and for this valley. I pray that you are encouraged, but I also want to encourage you that when you walk out the door, pay the price. It will be a day after day after day after day, but there will come a time when people are flooding altars to cry out to be saved, and marriages are coming in broken, crying out to be restored, and broken bodies will be coming in, crying out to be healed, and you will see the prize, and you will know that it was worth every price you paid over all these years to see God work in this valley. It's coming. And right now it is everything, and I'm watching this blow after blow. So many people are struggling, and I just want to encourage you. I'm not going to fix you. I'm not going to run around as codependent Pastor Ray trying to make everything good for everybody, but I'm going to tell you about a Jesus who can bring you through. I'm going to tell you about a Jesus you embrace and you pay the price. We will be there to encourage you, but you cling, you grab hold of, you lay hold of Jesus Christ, and he will see you through. He will see you through. The price you pay is nothing compared to the prize you and I will enjoy when God's awakening comes. Let's pray. Lord, we bless you. We bless you, Lord. Lord, we know that there are things that are sins and temptations of the flesh that we're called to reckon dead. And there's times, there's battles from the enemy that we're called to resist after submitting ourselves to you. Lord, we want to pay the price. We want to pay the price because the prize is so worth it when we see your glory poured out. Every sacrifice that was made will pale in comparison to every soul that will come into the kingdom. Every price we pay will pale in comparison to every marriage that will be rescued, every body that will be healed, every person that will be delivered. It will be worth every sacrifice we make by your Spirit. Stir up within your people, Lord. Stir up within your people, Lord, that faith and heart to say, yes, yes, Lord, the prize is worth the price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Search us, Lord. Work in us. Work in us, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time. Peter, you and I have chatted a lot about this dream, this vision. Peter was a young guy when he came to the area, and he knows. So I'm going to ask you, would you do the honors of taking all of us to the Father in prayer?
Amen. What a message. Amen. Oh, it was time for that message. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. My God, we count it a privilege, Lord, to be before you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you for the privilege, for the desire, Lord Jesus, to want to serve you, praise you, Lord God, forgetting what lies behind, pressing forward, God, to what lies ahead, Lord Jesus. Father God, help us to be willing to pay the price, God, knowing that around the corner where we can't see it, Lord Jesus, there's your blessing, there's your fruition, there's your fulfillment of what you've done. Thank you for Sister Warner, Lord Jesus. Thank you for those who poured in, who planted, Lord God. We thank you that we're on their shoulders, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the foundation that they laid, God. And Father, while we go about our lives, God, while we are doing the things that are necessary to do, Lord Jesus, help us to be cognizant that we're here for a bigger purpose, yes, than just our immediate concerns, Lord. For, Lord, the blessing of this valley, Lord Jesus, of this community, my God. In the name of Jesus, help us to be willing with your help and with your encouragement, God, to pay the price, Lord God, to see people blessed, to see revival, to see bodies healed, Lord, yes, to see marriages healed, Lord Jesus.
Yes,
hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
To see yokes broken, God, in the name of Jesus, that name that's above every name, Lord.
Yes.
Even this weekend, God, as we may be barbecuing, eating, socializing, help this message, Lord, to sink deep into us, my God.
Yes,
hallelujah. To pay the price, God. To pay the price, God, to pay the price, not just for the sake of it, not because we're masochists, but to pay the price, Lord, for your blessing to overshadow this area and our lives and our homes, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen, Jesus.
Amen,
amen, God.
Amen.